No opinions, no arguing, just the news. Right now. Right now.
Chris Bryant, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Austin Price for News Radio 92.3.
Every few minutes, you get the latest local news, traffic on fives, weather, and updates you actually need. So whether you're in the car for 5 minutes or 50, you're always caught up. Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin. Weekdays 4 to 7.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable. Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
But the five town districts are certainly the town center. We have commerce and services that are on the bottom right-hand corner. We have the community district on the bottom left-hand corner, the residential district on the top left corner, and then, of course, what we're calling the ETI in the top right corner, which is employment, technology, and innovation.
As we've been talking about all morning, this is Chad Henderson, one of the principals involved in redeveloping OLF-8, now styled as Outlying Fields. I kind of like that name. They turn the 8 on its side for an infinity symbol, and that's incorporated into all the logos for the different districts. And as he said there, these are the five different districts. The layout is a little bit different than the DPZ master plan had, but my opinion is that it does a pretty good job of trying to accommodate everything that was intended and still preserving all the different elements and turning it into a destination, you know, a place that's going to have that town center in the middle and the commercial retail in the bottom right-hand corner and the job creation in the top right-hand corner and then the residential all the way in the back on Frank Reeder Road. And then that bottom left is going to be, just a marshland, wetland area, but they're going to use that as well for drainage and other matters. And again, in the last 6 months, they've been really active, but not in public. You know, it seems like nothing's happening, but what have they been doing?
We did some preliminary engineering. We did all types of surveys. We did geotechnical, is where we, you know, bore in the ground to understand the perk rates and what type of dirt we're dealing with, which really helps with stormwater planning. We worked on understanding wetland delineation and doing a natural features inventory. That led to a threatened and endangered species studies. We did a very large traffic study, which is something that we were really hard at work. There was a lot of detail in that. We have done a really large economic impact study, and that is right here on site, as well as how it impacts us regionally. We did a retail feasibility study as well as a multifamily and a residential study as a part of the due diligence practice. And so each one of these studies we're not handling in-house. We've gone out to third parties, and that's all they do. And we reached experts in their fields and working with them and been very collaborative with them in doing that. So
that's all good. I mean, that makes a lot of sense to me. They're really trying to get everything figured out, both about whether they're going to wind up buying the thing in September, I think they will, and about what they want to do with it and designing around it. I don't think they would have invested in everything they've invested in so far if they didn't have the actual intention to close on it, which will be at the latest in September of this year. You know, all kinds of elements of this that they had to shift some, again, from the DPZ master plan, but that there is a kind of coherence to the style and the standards that they're wanting to apply to the entire property.
We're tightening up the use definitions and ensuring quality, especially from an architectural perspective. Each district will have a pattern book across an architectural pattern book that you will have to adhere to from a development perspective. And that will go across all the overlay district and every district.
Yeah, instead of just having, you know, the residential being what it is and the ETI, the, you know, economic development part being what it is and the town center, it's meant to be a coherent thing so that when you go there, you feel like you've entered a place. And you have all been to places like you've been to ones that were not done that way, where it was all thrown together. And you've also been to places where it is kind of like a thing that you go to. And it's kind of cool, honestly, to go to a place that's been designed as that. For example, the town center in the middle.
This is where I'm hoping that you will find yourself walking down the what would be the main street of Beulah. The main street of Beulah should be where ground floors are activated with curated uses. And what I mean by that is this is not about putting up buildings, hanging shingles, and finding somebody to pay rent. This is about being very intentional and finding those types of uses that create a sense of place. We like to call that targeted leasing and casting.
So probably not a tire store. No offense. We need them, but not there. You know, that's the kind of thing that no car washes, I'm imagining, at least not in that location. And the idea is to really think about what people use, what they want to have, what will make it the sort of place that you go. You know, think of Palo Fox being this way. And there's lots of walkable zones that you have seen created around the nation and certainly even in the vicinity that work really well because they don't just say, hey, there's 53 shops open. Who wants it? They say, we want this, we want this, we want this. And then they create a thing that really meets those needs. And to a certain degree, you know, it doesn't overdevelop in something that there isn't enough demand for, and then those things don't do well either.
Pinnacle Landing right here is a historical aspect of the site that we'd love to keep and activate. That is the hill where the helicopters used to practice landing on an elevated surface. It's about a 20-foot high hill. We love this spot as a way to activate the western side of this main street that would go left to right. And on the right side here would be this seasonal park. We're hoping that's where, there are Christmas tree vendors, maybe your pumpkin patch, but it's programmed into where that we're having events to walk this main street.
Yeah, between those two, like one on the west side, one on the east side of that area. And I don't know whether Beulah will ever become a town or incorporate or anything like that, but they're definitely thinking about this as a place like a town, whether it actually becomes that politically or not. We'll come back to this in just a second. PJ's got traffic on the fives.
Traffic's brought to you by Florida West EDA. Florida West Economic Development Alliance works to create high-wage jobs and private capital investment that grow Escambia County's tax base. Looking at the big board here, US 98 in Gulf Breeze between Fairpoint Drive and Shoreline Drive, just showing a little bit of congestion. The front gate of NES Pensacola backed up to Gulf Beach Highway. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. By the way, your last day filling in for John Pickens. You've done a fantastic job working all these days. I appreciate you working in January when it's cold and nobody wants to be up at freezing temperatures at 5 a.m. to come in here and do this. So I appreciate you doing such a good job of it. It's also kind of cute. The last hour I was talking about this, and we happen to have an ad for Florida West. And this hour I'm talking about this, and we happen to have an ad for Florida West. Nice coincidence. Not intended. And certainly, advertising doesn't shape what I cover or vice versa. Quality Roofing Solutions. If you need to have a roof done, either repaired or replaced entirely, or you know what? Honestly, you might not know you need one, but if you're selling a home, guess what? Insurance is going to come by and say, 12 years, huh? Nope. And you're like, but the roof is fine. Yeah, but okay. And that's part of the problem these days with insurance driving this market a lot of times. Quality Roofing Solutions, they have put in 10,000 roofs in the last 20 years. So they put in a lot of roofs. Brian Ward started the company in 2006 with the basic idea that we'd like to be the kind of people who do work on your home that you rely on, that you trust, that you believe in, that you can give a good value, that treat you like people, that answer your questions, return your phone calls, and don't talk down to you like you can't understand. Just treat you like people. Plus, they invest in local community stuff, Art Gateway, and youth sports, really big into youth sports and financial literacy education, all that kind of stuff. They do little things like a documentary record, photos before, during, and after that are on a cloud service so you have access to them even if something happens to your house. God forbid. They warranty their roofs for the lifetime of the roof, which is unheard of these days. That's amazing. But again, 4.9 rated on Google, very highly regarded here in this community, qualityroofingsolutions.com. And of course, they just expanded last week, 777-0961. Back to Chad Henderson talking about the site, what they're now calling Outlying Fields, what we used to call OLF8. I haven't decided which way I'll keep referring to it until the actual closing date, but I like the name. I think the name is clever. It's a good homage, just like keeping Pinnacle Landing as the place where the helicopters used to practice their on hill or above grade landings. Now, this I will tell you in advance. I don't know whether somebody told him, hey, say this and Andrew will like you. but he said something in this presentation that almost you could say anything else and I would still be a fan. And those of you who know me very well or know what I've said often will understand. It was when he was talking about stormwater and drainage and ponds and lakes. And one of the things that just drives me crazy is all of these stupid, ugly chain link fences that in Escambia County and Santa Rosa that we put around all of these ponds and make the ugliest thing we could possibly make out of what could be a nice feature amenity. And I have seen it because if you go to Baldwin County and elsewhere in Florida, you see where they do it well. Anyway, here's what he said.
We talked about this early on, and the community district is certainly an opportunity to celebrate, you know, the woodlands and the wetlands of Beulah. It's also where the most of the wetlands are on the property. And it's where, if you think about the fall of the property, it's roughly 60, 70 feet fall from the northeast corner down to the southwest corner. So obviously, if we want to follow the fall, that's where most of the watershed and the storm water will go. So what we have an opportunity, as opposed of creating a bunch of little stormwater ponds with chain link fences around it that are eyesores and nobody wants to look at, is to create an amenity. How can we create this watershed and make it a lake? And this is what we're calling Angel Lake. It is very sizable. The idea would be to create walking trails around it and make it an amenity and activate it with open green space, walkable trails, and also interact with the landings.
Oh, my God. My soul. I love it. They're going to use the natural geography. They're going to create a lake. They're going to drive all the stormwater toward the lake and make it an amenity through the, you know, that area in the southwest corner of the property that I had always kind of written off as being unusable, basically. But they're going to make it usable with a walking path so you can enjoy that property. If you have ever seen the park, it's one of the best kind of stormwater parks in the area of this sort, right on 9 Mile behind Dreamland Skate, not 9 Mile, on Olive behind Dreamland Skate. There's this kind of a park where it's a stormwater park, but it has got a walking track and a beautiful tree and a bench and some, I think there's exercise equipment on there. Anyway, it's a gorgeous park. But that's what they're talking about doing, is let's take this, you know, wetlands area and let's use it. Let's use that as our beautiful lake that we feed all the stormwater towards, and then let's make a walking path and kind of a public amenity out of the thing that would otherwise just be, again, if unfortunately the pattern in Escambia County were followed, we just put a hole in the ground and then put a chain link fence around the hole and say, nobody look at this. Don't pretend how ugly it is, because they super are ugly. A couple of other notes that he had was one on the Commerce area, which is the southeast quadrant. As you're coming in off of 9 Mile, you drive through the shops.
Here, you know, again, these are, you know, placeholders, but we think that this could be a really interesting opportunity for a conference hotel. A place where visitors and the folks that are working in the area and other employers and users of the area could go and use and have conferences.
That's good. I mean, and by the way, I'm sure the people who are thinking about the basin are like, the what now? Hey, because if there's a conference center, like tier one type hotel at Outlying Fields, then maybe you ask the question, well, but do we need to build a conference center downtown? Maybe both would work, but I would think that the one hand might want to talk a little bit to the other hand. As far as the economic development zone, the northeast quadrant.
But we want to be very intentional about what types of jobs and the architectural integrity that we're bringing to this site. So what we have here is an example of different types of uses that could go on this site. This is an example of a corporate headquarters here that could go, much like what's at Navy Federal. There is some more tilt wall space that could focus on things such as biopharmaceutical, marine innovation, clean manufacturing.
By the way, this is insider speak. Even I didn't know what it was. A tilt wall is, instead of a warehouse frame or a built-in place, it's where they basically on the ground in the footprint of the building, they fabricate a concrete wall flat, and then they tilt it up with a crane. That's all he's talking about. So it's a more sturdy structure. It's a little bit faster to create. That's all that is. So tilt wall construction is just that, you know, concrete wall kind of thing that's built in place and then lifted up, instead of, you know, the other ways to do things are all either more expensive, take more time, or just more challenging.
How many doors would this be from a residential standpoint? What's total number of dwelling units for this based on what you've got?
Well, I think it will... This plan certainly is where we're talking through districts. Those districts have the ability where it may be less townhomes, some more multifamily. We're certainly planning on having living units over this live-work scenario within the town center. Could be condos, make it walkable. So I hesitate to give you an exact number.
I mean, 500 doors, 2,500 doors. I mean, some range between there.
I would say, 1,000 to 1,500. I mean, I would guess.
Thanks.
Okay, but which isn't fair range to understand. And they are looking at traffic, and they are looking at parking, and they're trying to figure out, you know, how do you make people want to come to this area and then accommodate the fact that that means their car is coming to this area. All of that. They are definitely considering all of that. And the goal is not just to be a property that people who live there use, but that anybody would want to go there for the variety of things that it has to offer. Just like downtown, you know, people go downtown to go downtown, right? 724 here on, sorry, 724 here on News Radio 92.3. I've got a text in here from somebody who says that the giraffe says 6 more weeks of winter, which would mean that the giraffe at the Gulf Breeze Zoo is in agreement with Punxsutawney Phil. But I thought that was at noon today, and I'm checking on that to see if this, you know, I'm verifying the authenticity of the shade claim for the Gulf Breeze Zoo giraffe. PJ's got traffic on the fives.
The backup at the front gate of NES Pensacola getting a little bit longer. It's now backed up to Raymond Street, which is across Gulf Beach Highway, so just be aware, there's going to be an extra wait time there. Also taking a look at the big board here, we have a vehicle crash south Blue Angel Parkway at North Loop Road. They're saying the roadway is clear. I'm PJ with your traffic on the 5.
I did get a good note. Did you almost say Parkway?
Probably.
But you're not from the Northeast. It's allowable. Anyway, no, it's funny. Somebody texted and said, remember Admiral Mason Park was originally and is a stormwater project, an award-winning, beautifying element that people go to and enjoy. Right. Right. I just been saying this for years, and I'm really hoping that enough of our leaders catch the concept that we do not need to put chain link fence around these storm. I know it was what was done in the past, and I know it's being done even now, you know, the one on Sarah in Oakfield. I know. I wish it hadn't. But for the future, people, for the future, let's find other ways to make stormwater projects that are things people love to look at instead of things that people kind of, oh, don't look over there. I'm Andrew McKay.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Do you ever feel powerless? Powerless to change your circumstances? So did the man at the Pool of Bethesda in John chapter 5. This man had an infirmity that rendered him powerless for 38 years. Do you know what changed everything for this man? It was the day he met Jesus. The powerless man met the powerful Son of God. Jesus said unto him, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." And immediately this man picked up his bed and walked for the first time in 38 years. I don't know what it is that's making you feel powerless, whether it's financial, physical, or relational, but I do know that the all-powerful God can meet your need if you'll put your faith in Him.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Don't you hate it when you wake up and feel like you already missed something important? The Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Weekdays, 5 to 9. News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Do you ever have deja vu, Mrs. Lancaster?
I don't think so, but I could check with the kitchen.
You know, I haven't had a chance yet to play my favorite sound clip from Groundhog Day. We've been playing, drops today before the music have all been from Groundhog Day, but I haven't had a chance to play my very favorite one.
Did he actually call himself the talent?
It's an industry term, man. All right, David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning. In the UK, Prime Minister Keir Starmer calling on Prince Andrew to testify before Congress about his connections to Jeffrey Epstein. Starmer says anybody with relevant information should be willing to come forward. His comments follow newly released Justice Department files that include photos of Andrew with an unidentified woman, along with allegations that Epstein arranged a meeting with the prince in 2010. Rapper Snoop Dogg mourning the loss of his 10-month-old granddaughter. She was born premature at only 25 weeks, spent most of her life in the neonatal intensive care unit. His daughter shared the news of her death on Instagram. In Arizona, authorities are searching for the mother of Today Show host Savannah Guthrie. 84-year-old Nancy Guthrie apparently was last seen Saturday night at her home in the Catalina foothills. The sheriff's office there in Pima County says the circumstances are concerning.
All right, David, thank you so much for the update. Interesting article I read over the weekend about online influencers giving out health advice. And according to their survey, 2.1% of the nutrition content checked on these so-called health influencers actually fit public health guidelines. 2%.
CJ Papa, starting this week with a partial government shutdown in place.
House Democrats say they will not help House Republicans use an expedited process to have a vote today on passing this package of government spending bills that were passed by the Senate last week.
Fox's Bill Malusian, the latest Fox News poll shows Americans still backing the White House on border security.
52% of registered voters approve of the president's performance on border security. 56% of those polled did say that they felt ICE was too aggressive. With Tom Homan now in Minnesota, he has fine-tuned tactics to be less sweeping, more criminal record-focused.
Fox's Alexandria Hoff, it's Groundhog Day.
There is a shadow here on my ground. Six more weeks of winter abound.
Yeah, single digits in Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. Cold start to our day. Sunshine this morning, and right now we've got 26 degrees here across the area. We'll get to our forecast with Brooke Richardson. That's up in just a few minutes. Well, the first big blow thanks to the current government shutdown. NAS Pensacola and the National Naval Aviation Museum Lighthouse in Fort Barrancas are closed to visitors today. DOD cardholders can still get on base through either the main or the west gate. Escambia County pushing for new state law to make it easier to remove derelict boats. This comes as the county deals with abandoned vessels in Bayo Chico, with as many as a dozen having to be removed every year. Officials say it can cost as much as $10,000 to remove an average-sized boat. The proposed law would let local code enforcement help fish and wildlife investigations and initiate civil proceedings to address those problem vessels. County staff say boats could then be removed before they sink and save taxpayers money. The Florida House is expected to take that up this month. The developer behind the Outlying Fields project in Beulah has unveiled their new master plan for the 300-acre site, formerly known as OLF-8. Chad Henderson presented the 14th version of that plan at a community meeting. He says their goal is to create something intentional.
This is not about putting up buildings, hanging shingles, and finding somebody to pay rent. This is about being very intentional and finding those types of uses that create a sense of place.
Henderson gave that update at the town hall meeting on Thursday. The plan does include 5 districts, a walkable town center, residential area, community space with trails and a lake, and retail along 9 Mile Road, as well as a job creation district that he says would target aerospace, cybersecurity, and medical technology companies. Well, a cantonment mechanic dealing with a big setback after a fire destroyed his auto body garage on Saturday. Escambia Fire Rescue was called to Wiggins Lane just before 5 p.m. David Ubelstead says he had to shut everything down and locked up before people started banging on his door to tell him about the fire. The shop apparently is a total loss. Ubelstead lost all of his equipment and an antique wooden boat that he says belonged to his father. Nobody was hurt. Nearby homes were not damaged. Driver's license testing in Florida will be administered only in English starting next week. The Department of Highway Safety says that change applies to all classifications, including oral exams. And Punxsutawney Phil, the prognosticator of prognosticators, seer of seers, noted rodent weatherman, made his prediction, speaking last hour to his handlers and groundhog ease at Gobbler's Knob. Phil's forecast.
It is my job this February 2 to look to the skies and report back to you that there is a shadow here on my ground. 6 more weeks of winter
abound. Now, this may not be the result that we were all hoping for, but the good news is there's several other animal forecasters you can keep your eye on, perhaps most notably in Gulf Breeze at the Gulf Breeze Zoo, Kenya. And she will give her forecast at noon and also predict the winner of next weekend's Super Bowl. So we will keep our eyes on that. 7:35 right now at News Radio 92.3. And let's get a look at our traffic on the fives. Good morning, PJ.
Good morning. Traffic brought to you by Culver's. Try the Club Chicken Sandwich and sign up for the Welcome to Delicious app. Cordova Mall, Mobile Highway, and Milton. Culver's Welcome to Delicious. Taking a look at the big board here. We have a vehicle crash with a roadblock, Pensacola Boulevard at West Hope Drive. Use caution through that area. Also, the front gate of NES Pensacola is backed up to Gulf Beach Highway. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much. Now we've got sunshine, 26 degrees. Let's get a quick check on our forecast with Brooke Richardson.
Another cold start to your day today with temperatures below freezing. As you head into your afternoon, we will see highs around 54 degrees, plenty of sunshine. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 36. Heading into Tuesday, partly cloudy skies, high near 61. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 52. Heading into Wednesday, 70% chance of some showers with a high near 64 and a low near 39. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. We've got sunshine right now, partly cloudy skies. Our next news at 8 o'clock and breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. NVIDIA shares have slipped 2% in pre-market trading after a deal between the chip giant and OpenAI appeared to be in question. The tech giant had announced plans in September to invest up to $100 billion into the AI startup. House Speaker Mike Johnson said he is confident the government will reopen by tomorrow. The House needs to pass a Senate-approved spending package to end the partial government shutdown. Johnson added that he's not counting on Democratic support to help fast-track the measure and end the shutdown. Automakers, battery makers, and suppliers directed hundreds of billions of dollars into electric vehicle investments across the U.S. in recent years, and almost half of that had been planned for the South. However, companies have now canceled EV plans and some have faced write-downs. Many are pivoting to hybrids as EV sales plunge. Futures are moderately lower. Friday, the Dow Industrials lost 179, the NASDAQ down 223, the S&P 500 down 29. That's your money now.
The average checking account pays less than a tenth of a percent. Pioneer Credit Union's high-yield checking, 5.05% APY. That's more than most savings accounts and 70 times more than any old checking account. Make every deposit count. Learn more at penair.org/checking. Federally insured by NCUA, Penair's high yield checking account pays up to 5.05% annual percentage yield with e-statements and a monthly ACH deposit of $250 or more.
Splash Magazine covers the coast like the Gulf of Mexico. Each month, Splash Magazine offers a calendar of events, plus tips on where to shop, dine, and play. Learn about the month's special events, live entertainment, and interesting local people. Learn how to catch fish with Captain Dave Yelverton. See what is worth watching on your streaming services. Tom Nolan will tell you the latest. Get the most out of the Emerald Coast by reading Splash Magazine each month. For more information, call Gulf Breeze News at 850-932-8986 or visit GulfBreezeNews.com online.
Hi, this is Todd Thompson, President and CEO of the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel for the Chamber Connection Show that will keep you informed on what's going on with your Chamber of Commerce. Tune in this Monday morning at 10 to find out about our upcoming events, all of our different programs, and what's happening with our local business community. It's the Chamber Connection Show every other Monday at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
You don't have to keep jumping around the dial all day.
Start your morning with Pensacola Morning News, weekdays 5 to 9. Stick around for Pep Talk with Meg from 9 to 11. Then it's MVR from 11 till 2, Hughes Hewitt from 2 to 4, and Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin from 4 to 7. One station, one day, everything you need to know. News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Informative, local, dependable.
I'm a chicken fried, a cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right, and a radio.
Good morning, 7:39 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. I do feel a little offended, PJ, it's not your fault, but that the music John has picked for Representative Petronas is Zac Brown Band and Something Country, which always makes me groove when I hear it, in spite of myself and my views about country music. So whatever, we'll just, you know, move on, live life, and so forth.
Whoa. You don't like country music?
No. Generally. I mean, some of it is fine, but generally, no.
What is your problem? Oh, my God.
Well, I mean, I like to think my problem is I have taste, but, you know.
That you have totally changed my whole opinion of you.
But what about me makes you think I would like country music? I'm a Gen X kid. I grew up with, you know, the new wave and hard rock and punk and, you know, everything but country.
For a guy that makes a living behind the microphone and going into people's homes and cars via speakers, you would think you would have like an appreciation for all types. Wow.
Yeah.
It's
the one, the other one is jazz. I can't stomach jazz. I can do all kinds of classical, opera even. Can't do jazz. Even worse than I can't do country. But there's some country songs that I like. It's okay.
Okay.
So we can we, I mean, just, have we reached the rupture in our relationship? Is this it?
We have some repairing to do.
Congressman Petronas is with us now on the phone. Okay, so we are in the shutdown light right now. I mean, access to the base for civilians is restricted, and you know, there's other things that are unfunded. But what things are actually affected, and what's our chance of getting out of this anytime soon?
So this is what we're calling an 80% partial shutdown. So anything that's going to live over in HHS is going to be unfunded right now.
You mean DHS?
So TSA. I'm sorry?
You said HHS. You meant DHS.
That's what I meant. Homeland Security. Yeah. So TSA, Border Protection, FEMA, Coast Guard, U.S. Customs Immigration, Cybersecurity Infrastructure Agency, United States Secret Service. So these are the items that right now that they're they don't have operating capital.
And so, but they're still, I mean, the Coast Guard is still operating. The airlines are still flying. Like, everything is still operating. They just aren't funded at the moment, right?
Correct.
So we're going to, rules, I think, is having a vote today. And as long as no Republicans defect, that'll move to the floor. And then you guys can vote on it tomorrow because you're heading up there today, right? Fingers crossed.
Correct. So, there's a chance we do it today. I think it just depends on, you know, the ability for members, everybody to get there. I'm traveling today. It went from 3,000 cancellation flights on Friday or Saturday. Yesterday, there was, I think, about 1,100, you know, anticipating, you know, normal operations today. But, of course, the flights that I'm looking at, they are delayed. So, yeah.
Yeah, I see just a small handful of delays here locally for a couple of hours going to, you know, Charlotte and Atlanta, and Washington is delayed a little bit. But hopefully you get through. Is there any way to make sure that maybe, I don't know, some of the Democrats don't catch their flights? joke.
Yeah, I mean, Mother Nature doesn't pick and choose. So, it'll affect across the board. But, you know, the we have one less seat of a majority over the Democrats as of later this morning, because another Democratic member of Congress has been elected out of Texas because of a vacant seat that we had. So, I mean, it is what it is. It's going to be a challenge here throughout the rest of the year.
You have a one-person majority, and then you have folks like, what, Thomas Massey, who's, you know, pretty consistently on the fence at best. Anybody else, Republicans, who are kind of squishy or at least are problematic because they don't want to vote for something without something? I mean, you know, it can go both ways. It can be that they're not Republican enough or that they're kind of too Republican, right?
Sure. Well, correct. And then we also, Doug LaMaffa, who's an amazing member, a really nice, down-to-earth Republican out of California, died 2 weeks ago, just all of a sudden. So, I mean, we'll have a difficult time bringing some things in for a landing. It's going to be hard to move just everything we want forward just because, you know, we won't get the votes. You've got a handful of Republicans in the Northeast, like typically the ones that are the Salt Caucus. They're just in more of a deep purple seat. There's certain ones in Pennsylvania, and those are going to be the ones that, you know, they're not going to want controversial votes, so they'll err on the side of caution. It's going to make it tough, guys.
Isn't it fascinating, the salt thing, because you have these fairly well-to-do Republicans in high-tax liberal areas that have long enjoyed the benefit of not having to pay their fair share of federal taxes because of the salt deduction. And all of a sudden, they're Republicans, except for when it comes to, you know, their own willingness to have the rules apply equally to everybody. So it's which of course puts their elected officials in jeopardy as well. You and I have talked about this before. We're talking to Jimmy Petronas. We'll come back to him in just a second. PJ's got traffic on the fives.
We just had a listener report that there's a vehicle crash southbound 29 just by the I-10 ramp, causing some delays. Use caution. Also, the front gate of NAS Pensacola is backed up to Palmetto. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. you'll appreciate this, Jimmy. Andrew doesn't like country music. Well, bless his heart. Thank goodness that Jesus forgives all mistakes. That's great.
I'm still like totally distracted having a conversation with you.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry to throw you off. Okay, so midterm elections are coming. Of course, you're up and everybody in the House is up for about a third of the Senate's up. One of the things that I have been reading a bunch about over the last week or two is the shooting in Minnesota produced responses from President Trump, from Kristi Noem, from Kash Patel that were absolutely tone deaf and wrong on the Second Amendment and the right to carry. And gun organizations and pro-gun activists have really been frustrated about this. And the concern they have is that the people for whom the Second Amendment is held almost like a religious view are noticing and they're furious. And there's no amount of backtracking at this point that might really work. And if they stay home in November in close districts, maybe a couple of a percent difference puts even more Democrats, which loses us the House. I mean, I see that as a real concern. It's not that they're going to vote Democrat, but if they just don't show up to vote for the Republicans, that's a problem. Are you hearing this, paying attention to this? What do you I mean, I know we're a ways out from the election, but, you know, gun people don't forget real quick.
No, and I hope people just know that the president, look, he means well. There's a lot of things he says when tempers and tensions flare. This is no different. This is the most pro-Second Amendment president we've had. I would argue since Reagan. I don't think that his words were meant to infringe on anybody's concerns about constitutional carry or carrying their firearms or using their firearms. But, you know, it's obvious, you know, the instance what happened in Minnesota with this fella were inflamed. He was loaded for bear, and he was, you know, taking, a significant amount of ammunition and firearms right into an agitation situation with law enforcement. I mean, so, you know, would the circumstances be different if he wasn't carrying his firearm? We'll never know. But I think this is just what the president was trying to do unilaterally, to take the temperature down. So.
First of all, I disagree that he was sort of loaded for bear. I mean, he carried two magazines. I carry two magazines all the time. That's just a normal, you know, personal carry. But I do agree with you. What's that?
Thank you.
Your son. Okay. No, but I do agree with you. Trump has been very, very pro-gun generally. I think some people have a distaste for the bump stock stuff, but of course he's gotten rid of the $200 tax on suppressors, which they're flying off the shelves right now exactly because of that. One of the things I was thinking about this the other day, Trump is, he doesn't speak the language of ideology. He's not ideological. He's pure pragmatism. And so he will go ahead.
No, he is, and it's like, there are bills being filed like right now in the Florida legislature. I think Toby Oberdorf is running a bill to fix, so bump stocks are legal again. So there's a number of things out there that are still being done at the state level to go out there and make sure that those that are pro Second Amendment or passionate about guns rights and firearms rights are still having a seat at the table. So I think this is a spike in the GOAT and the president's word usage simply because of the circumstances of the day.
I think what it does, it's kind of like when he made the comments about DeSantis and abortion, that's too low of a threshold or too high of a threshold, however you want to view it. It's for people who are ideologically committed, he does not speak that language, and so he doesn't know when he missteps on those things. It's just that usually when it comes to policy, it shakes out the right way. But I agree with you that, we tend to sometimes almost care too much about what President Trump says instead of watching more what actually gets done, which is, obviously much better.
1,000%. You nailed it on the head. Remember, this guy's in the hospitality business. He might as well be a manager of a restaurant trying to make customers happy. Sometimes you're just going to say whatever you need to say to take the temperature down. But ultimately, you're going to make sure that everybody else in the room is still having a good time and they come back and eat. You got to make a living. This is no different. He's just trying to take the temperature down in set circumstances. And next week, he'll do something very pro-gun that'll be over the top. That'll, make, the pro-Second Amendment folks, rabid with jubilation at the expense of those that, hate firearms.
I'm gonna ask you kind of an odd question, but I kind of want to hear your thoughts about it. Obamacare or the marketplace has income-based subsidies, which are changing, right? That's part of the screaming that's been the government shut down one and has not really been resolved in this one, except that they're not going to exist. And so some people are going to not be able to afford Obamacare that thought they were going to. But why do we have income-based subsidies for Obamacare and not income-based subsidies for employer-based health insurance?
I think we should have income-based across the board for any type of benefit of any federal tax dollar that's going to be in any program. I obsess over the amount of money that we spend, whether it be at a state level or at a federal level, that comes back to the states with almost zero checks and balances that becomes fungible because we don't have the ability to ensure every one of those dollars is being used for its intended program use.
Yeah.
So, I could take that question and apply it across the board to so many, expenditures that we do every day. Because it's all taxpayers' money. This is money that you could be using for your own purposes, but the federal government has an insatiable, appetite for spending money.
Yeah, you and I actually had a really interesting conversation a couple of weeks ago when we were just chatting before the interview. We never did manage to talk about it on the air, but as the former CFO of the state of Florida, you have some really interesting ideas, I thought, about how federal funding should work in terms of, siloed money or, earmarked money in a good way, sunset provisions, all of that, clawbacks. Can you maybe just, spend a minute or two and talk about that? I don't know that you're necessarily in a position to get it all done, but I thought it was a really interesting perspective, again, as a former CFO.
Well, I just kind of think we should really revisit what the true purpose of state tax dollars are and federal tax dollars. And with federal, I can drill down into those particular. I feel like, absolutely federal government dollars should be used in ensuring our military, our Medicare, our safety net is in place. But sometimes you get states that will, have a program that is developed by the federal government, and then it'll get an expansion to it. And then unfortunately you take place of what happened in COVID, massive expansion, all these programs, none of them were reeled back in now that we're in a post COVID era, because it seems like nobody has the stomach to want to try to bring these programs back to where it's a reasonable set of benefits to allow somebody to enjoy you know, or get the stability to move their lives forward. But then when you see what's happened in Minnesota and billions of dollars that have been spent unaccounted for, my attitude is, wait, stop sending, when you've got a flare like that, the federal government should have the ability to stop sending money and enforce those members of Congress there. If it's such a great program, let them go file a direct appropriation saying, you know what, this is our program, this is our encounter data, this is the good we did with it, can we please have this money? And then let the members of Congress vote up and down on it. I'm sorry, I hate the way we spend money in Washington, because this is something we're leaving to our kids. It's this massive amounts of debt.
You know, the original idea, as I understand it from the founders, was that, you know, one person would come forward with a spending request and 400 people would vote him down, or 200 or whatever at the time. And then somebody else would come forward with a spending request to take money and do something, and the other 200 would vote them down. And it would just, everybody would collectively vote no so often that nothing would get passed and spending would stay in control. Whereas now it's all, I'll vote yes if you vote yes, if he votes yes, if she votes yes. And so all these things get passed. I'm with you. I mean, each funding bill could be targeted, specific, with metrics, with sunset provisions, with a yes, up or down vote on this particular one. And then let's do the next one. Let's do the next one instead of these massive, multi-pronged spending approaches that, you know, everybody feels they have to vote yay or nay on. And then they get politically attacked for voting no on something that was tucked into a bunch of other, you know, just it's crazy the way we do it.
Well, and we did 12 individual budgeted bills. We did exactly what we're supposed to do. Then we came back, as opposed to doing a massive CR or one big massive, we did what are called, instead of omnibuses, we did what mini buses. There were, you know, like three appropriations bills together. And we're getting to a better place. It's just going to be that much harder now because of our voting situation.
Most definitely. Jimmy Patronis, he is our congressman for District 1. Safe travel, say. Hope your airline travel is not impeded, or not impeded very much. You get up there safely and, you know, don't get too taken advantage of by it and all the weather and the D.C. of it all. You know, you have to clean yourself off a little bit when you come home. Jimmy, thank you as always for the time. Go ahead.
And I want to remind people, if you haven't made a trip to D.C., you need to make it. You need to let our office know. You need to let us show you a good time. Washington, D.C. is still one of the most incredible, magnificent cities in this whole entire world, and you deserve to come and see your city.
Oh, it is. I totally agree with you. And when, you know, Trump gets done building the arch, I think it'll be, or the arc, it'll be even that much better. I completely agree. Everybody ought to go to D.C. at least once in their adult lives so they can experience it. Jimmy, thank you for the time. We'll talk to you again next week, sir.
Thanks, buddy.
You bet. PJ's got traffic on the fives.
Taking a look at the big board here, we have a vehicle crash North Davis Highway at University Parkway. They're saying there's a roadblock associated with that. Use caution. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Making the wrong choice can be very costly. Choosing the wrong plumbing company can cost you a lot of money. Hi, I'm Judy Lacey with Barbieri Plumbing, and we've been repairing Pensacola's plumbing problems for over 50 years. We are the local originator of the flat rate pricing system, so you don't have to pay by the hour, and there are no surprises. When you need a plumber, make the right choice and call Barbieri Plumbing. We will make your plumbing great again.
License number RF11067749.
Join Kenny Chartel from Affordable Automotive Gulf Breeze for car care tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Kenny will be sharing his years of expertise on car maintenance, as well as tips and loads of great advice that'll keep your car running in top shape. Whether foreign or domestic, don't miss car care tomorrow at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Saturday morning, get your run on in the Double Bridge Run, one of the premier 15K races in the country, going across Pensacola Bay and Santa Rosa Sound. It gets underway at 7. See PensacolaSports.org. It's Mardi Gras fun in Navarre. Saturday beginning at 1 with the annual Crew of Jesters Navarre Mardi Gras Parade. The theme this year is the celebration of 250 years of American independence. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
So, what did I miss today?
Good question.
I'm Andrew McKay.
Chris Bryan.
Austin Price.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Well, there you have it.
Morning.
Morning.
You off to see the groundhog?
Yes, I am.
Do you think it's going to be an early spring?
I'm predicting March 21st.
Oh, good guess. You know, I think that actually is the first day of spring.
Quick!
Oh, I didn't mention rap when I was talking to Jimmy about the music I do like. But,
oh, I bet you didn't.
Yeah, but it's all right. I'm predicting March 21st. 7:58 News Radio 92.3. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines and another 6 weeks of this nonsense.
Oh,
it's all
know.
Science. It's all science.
We got to get that that rodent.
Yeah.
We got to get him.
Wait, that sounded like you were conspiring to commit a crime.
No, never. Not me. We are going to be following Kenya at the Gulf Breeze Zoo and her prediction for whether we'll have 6 more weeks of this or not. And that is, as far as I can tell, still scheduled at noon.
Well, yeah, I got a text from somebody who said she already saw her shadow, and then I thought it was at noon, so I'm assuming later. Maybe they had a private conversation. Well, I don't know.
Perhaps, yeah. So taking a look at our headlines, though, a 5-year-old boy and his father have been released from ICE custody after a court order. Liam Canejo Ramos and his father had been detained earlier this month in Minnesota. On Saturday, a federal judge did order their release.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Navarre Mardi Gras Parade coming up this weekend. Downtown Grand Mardi Gras Parade comes up the following Saturday, Valentine's Day, 2 o'clock with the slightly adapted route because you just can't do it down Palafox this year.
Local talk in the morning, 5 to 9 with Andrew McKay is on.